was supposed to come by and bless the house yesterday, but it can wait till he feels better. I hope he's not too sick.
Oh, I think it's just one of those flu things. But Mrs. Lutz, the father was at your house yesterday.
We were expecting him, but he never showed up.
Well, I know he left to go there.
He didn't come. We waited all day.
Must have been some kind of mix-up.
What I saw was not a cat. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode 195, just five short of the big 200. My name is Scott Johnson, and this is the podcast where we go to the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining me today, Brian. Hey, Preacher Man, how long are you going to just sit there with a billion flies on your face, Dunaway?
Honey, you are not going to believe what I found in the basement. And by found, I mean located with my sledgehammer. Red room. Oh, we could put a bed, pet bed down there, or we could keep the kids' toys down there. So many options. Oh, what's this? Looks like a witch's teat. Wait, there's a little sign. Doorbell to hell. Well, hot damn. Hello, Satan.
Why is he this excited redneck fella?
I don't know. He just needs to be.
All right.
Ooh, stupid flies.
I'm down with it. With this also, Randy Mystery Black Toilet Water Jordan.
No, aloha, Scott, Brian. Mm-hmm.
Brian. Mm-hmm.
This week on Film Sack, we watched a movie that has so much buildup and such a complete lack of resolution that all I know to say about it is...
See, this is the part where we're supposed to think you maybe went off the air, but he didn't. Part of the joke. Okay. Finally with us, Brian, checks is not cash. Cash is cash, Ibbot.
Well, it's true. Blood dripping down the walls, weird noises, flies out of season, voices telling you to get out. You call it a possessed house. Huh, I've been to college. I call it a shitty roommate.
Uh-huh. Did you spend a lot of the movie expecting there to be one single demon, like this one?
Well,
dude.
You saw one single demon.
Who?
Oh, well, that's true.
In the window.
The pig demon
green screen action.
From the thing from the Neverending Story.
Exactly.
I forgot that happened. Talk about that's a chicken in a bucket that never got out of the bucket.
Oh, I've got a bigger chicken in a bucket.
There's never been a movie with more chicks in the buckets.
Yeah, there are many chicks in many buckets.
And I venture to guess that my chick in the bucket is the biggest chick in the bucket.
All right, let's find out. We're going to find out soon.
By girth? What are you talking about?
That's all that matters, right? Girth? That's what I heard. We're going to let Scott Fletcher explain all about this movie, which is called 1979's The Amityville Horror.
The Amityville Horror. After moving into their Long Island dream house, George Lutz, his wife, and their three children find their lives turning into a hellish nightmare as the legacy of a murder committed on the premises gradually affects the family.
Bleh, gradually over 2 hours, man.
Right. Mm-hmm. Truly almost a 2 hour movie.
Yeah.
Like 3 minutes.
58.
Yeah. Right. 158. Way too long, I think, for the subject matter. Cause a lot of it, you can always tell in these movies. I know when a movie needs to be long because you didn't feel like they put in fluff and padding. This had a bunch of fluff and padding. Oh, it was constantly, it's Thursday. Yeah. And they'd tell you on the screen, Thursday, 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Great. Someone's waking up with a nightmare again. Didn't we do that 3 times in a row? Are we done? Can we move on to the next thing?
Here's the thing is, and I had this in my notes that I wanted to talk about it, but so they have, all right, on the 12th day, they find the red room, and then the cross they're using to cleanse the house burns their hand, and then she gets these welts and has to look in the mirror, and she's like, oh my God, I'm all gross. Get away. Yeah. And then the next time they cut to is the 17th day. What happened on days 13? Yeah. Is it like, this was a pretty damn good day? I say what I say.
Days.
They spent all those days waiting for the realtor to come put a sign up. Yeah. Like, I guess she's not coming.
Oh, you mean the clock tower lady from Back to the Future? Is that the one you're talking about?
Sure. Yeah,
that was her. I made sure.
Oh, really? Yep. Same lady?
Verified. I knew she looked familiar. Immediately familiar, and I went, wait a minute. What is that lady from? And then it hit me in the head. I'm like, she is the screaming for the clock tower lady.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So she's great, and I wanted her back, and I wanted her to be one of the victims, but it never happened.
Right.
Go ahead.
I love that the poster for this movie, the only thing you can see on the poster of this movie are these huge words, "For God's sake, get out." And that's what you're thinking the whole movie. The whole movie.
Right.
Okay, just walk next door. I don't even care. If you don't have to go to Kansas.
Yeah.
Just leave that one spot you're in.
Well, everything you guys have said so far is a reminder why I don't like haunted house movies. I don't typically like them in TV shows, although I think American Horror Story did a little bit better job typically for me. But the horror trope that is haunted homes, haunted houses, is never interesting to me because it's never scary to me. I should put it that way. Because it's just what scared me about this movie when I was a kid. And in a minute, I want to hear Ibbitt talk about his horrible experience at the drive-in when he was like 10 years old.
Yes.
But I saw it when I was younger. I was probably a little bit older. I was maybe 12 or 13. Saw it on somebody's VHS somewhere. Mm. And I'll tell you what freaked me out. It wasn't the house. It wasn't the haunting. It wasn't the jump scares or any of that. The pig eyes, none of that stuff. What got me was flies all over dude and toilet full of black stuff. Mm. Those are the two things that I could not deal with at that age.
And I probably, we would, if we thought about it, we probably would have been able to predict it would have been a toilet that would have scared Scott Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I don't like toilets that don't behave.
And it's got black ink in it? Right. Oh, my God. It's the worst thing ever for Scott.
Oh, dude. Right. I can't deal with it.
I bet if Scott ever gets some ink on his skin, it's really bad news.
Well, now I see it and I just go, this is stupid. Like, that looks dumb. And so do those flies. Like, it's dumb now. But
I vaguely remember 1979. And one of the things I remember about 1979 was my grandmother's bug spray. Get some fly spray. Yeah. Get some fly spray.
Yeah. You can have a fly swatter sitting on the wall, like right.
No,
where
a fly swatter is bad news against 1,000 flies. But fly spray, now that'll take them out.
I don't know the satisfaction of like one slot with a fly swatter and splattering like 20 of them.
Right.
Well, yes. Brian Dunaway would probably agree with me here, but I think because this sounds like a thing you'd be contrary on, but I feel like the deal with the flies was that one second they're there and the next second they're not. So they were supernatural flies anyway. Yeah. I don't think
you couldn't swat them. It'd be more aggravating than trying to swat a real fly.
Now, is there some, I didn't research this and I meant to, and maybe, because I heard Dunaway's been watching all the documentaries and reading all the stuff all week long.
Oh,
he
awesome.
Went down a rabbit hole about this story.
I watched every one of them on Netflix, everything they had on Amityville, which is a lot, by the way. I watched all of it.
You didn't watch the sequels or anything, did you?
I started watching some of the sequels, but I watched the documentaries, two documentaries on there.
Yeah. One's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. One of them is fairly recent and is from the Daniel, the son, one of the sons that was involved.
Yeah. One of the kids that slammed his hand in the window or whatever.
Right. Right.
Supposedly. I mean, I think it's all bunk and bullcrap, but at the end of the day, I find that more fascinating than the actual dramatic depiction of all this because it's just not, none of it's just, it just all strikes me as crap. Oh, right, the priest went blind. Why? I don't know. The statue fell apart.
You know, I thought that was actually the funniest. That was actually the funniest part because I'm like, you know, he went blind because he couldn't stop screaming. He bust some capillaries in his eyes because he was
into it,
going
dude.
Off.
And well, once everything like that is presented to you and then not resolved, it's just like, oh, and then that happened. Let's look over here.
Yeah.
You know,
this is kind of typical fare of the, you know, The Exorcist and the other movie we saw on here with Damien, The Omen, especially The Omen, because just you're really along for a trip.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that journey thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He filmed the director of this movie, by the way, Stuart Rosenberg.
Rosenberg.
He made movies from he was born in 27, died in 07. Is that 100? No, that's not 100.
Is that 100?
60 something. Anyway,
I can't do math by 100. But that's almost
80.
He's done a bunch of movies, but you'd be surprised like how much TV he did. But as far as movies go, he was Cool Hand Luke, director of Hand Luke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is a great movie.
That's a great movie.
Brubaker and the Drowning Pool.
Brubaker's awesome, right?
Yeah.
The Pope of Greenwich Village. I kind of remember this a little bit. Kind of an 80s thing. He had some moments. I don't think this is good at all.
You don't think this is good?
No, I don't.
No.
All right, can you tell me that James Brolin was not fantastic in this movie?
I couldn't see him. Absolutely. With a tiny little pink face out of all that hair. I couldn't even see his face.
Now, and don't get me wrong. I understand that everybody by this point in the 70s was trying to look like the Allman Brothers Band. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's fine. But the thing is that James Brolin was a pretty good actor, and he didn't have any room to act.
Yeah.
It was just angry acting or falling down.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, it was like a switch, you know, flip of a switch of like, all right, be nice, husband. Okay, it's not no gradual descent into madness. You are just full on 11, baby. Yeah. Go
all the way. Yeah. When he was, I mean, early on when they're just having casual conversation about what the house is going to cost and can they do it or should they do it and where are the kids and let's talk to the realtor and all that. He's great and he's always good. That guy has never mailed it in. There's a reason his son's so good, I think, because runs on the damn family. He's great. But that all shut off at some point, and it was just crazy tired eyes and hair everywhere, and I'm going to kill everyone with this axe eventually if we don't get out of here.
And I don't mind saying, you know what? Margot Kidder isn't that good an actor. Sorry.
Maybe at the time.
Maybe back in the day, there just wasn't anybody else to do these kind of
things.
Whatever.
Inside boob.
That's right. Not just side boob, but inside boob.
Was this before Superman or after?
After Superman 1.
After Superman 1. So she had been buried in the rubble in the car previous to this, right?
But she hasn't been kissed or had watched while he threw Saran Wrap at Ron.
Okay. She hasn't been a Niagara yet.
No. By the way, James Brolin, currently married to Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Prior to that, for 9 years, was married to Jan Smithers, who was what's-her-face, the hot one on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Not the one that everyone thought was hot, but the actually hot one.
The one with the helmet.
Yeah.
Right. The one that when you thought about it, oh, yeah, she is the hotter one.
She totally is. Years later, you're like, oh, she was supposed to be like the studious kind of librarian nerd of the show. But what was really happening was she was totally hot. And the blonde one was wearing a helmet made of plastic called hair in 1968.
Bailey Quarters was her character name. And
she was great.
Lonnie Anderson was the other one who played Jennifer.
What happened to them? Why'd that all fall apart? Did you dig that deep?
No idea.
Okay.
Just divorced.
Nesman kept coming around the house.
With the dang glasses.
What's going on, guys?
Divorce, though, that he could marry Barbara Streisand, I guess.
I wonder, right?
Exactly. I know you're all hot, but I'm going to go ahead and leave you for Barbara Streisand because she's got...
Well, hold on. Who's Josh Brolin's mother, then?
Oh, that's a good question.
Miss Brolin.
Well, yeah. But
Miss Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
Let's see. So, neither of the two. Jane Cameron Agee. He was married to her right up until he married Jan Smithers. Same year, divorced one and married two.
So Jan Smithers raised him then, probably. She was like the mom around the house. Little piece of shit, clean your room up or I'm going to bap, 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 right?
No, because he was born, let's see, Josh Brolin was born 1968. So, so he would have been 17 when James married.
You're not my real mom. I hate you.
And exactly. He went out with his friends. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know that it doesn't go like that in Hollywood though.
Yeah.
He grew up with his mom.
I'm sorry. His was, you're not my real mom. I hate you. And I was in Goonies. I'm going out with my friends.
Right.
Yeah. He was a fat kid in Goonies. Was he the fat kid? No, I have that wrong.
You're right.
Who was the fat kid in Goonies?
You're talking about Chunk?
Yeah. No. Right? I think.
Chunk. Yes. I'm sorry. I was thinking Stand By Me.
I hope this fat kid is called Chunk.
He was.
Well, he better be. He can't have a name like Chunk and not be the fat kid. Anyway, what were you saying? I cut you off with that, with my Chunk comment. I forgot.
Me?
Yeah, you were still saying
something. I think
something.
I was done.
I was done with my talking.
I was done. Dude,
I'm just saying, Josh Brolin
has
turned in such great work the last decade.
He's amazing.
He has, you know, become one of our best actors.
He's in the rehab right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was hard to watch this movie and not think about him and not think about movies like Milk.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, James Brolin, man.
Well, he's awesome.
He was just wasted in this movie. Just wasted. It's a complete waste of James Brolin in this movie.
Yeah.
And it starts out, you have such hope because the chemistry between he and Margot Kidder is amazing.
Yeah.
And then it just goes to crap.
You seen him lately? He looks like a pepperoni right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
A pepperoni with white fur.
That's really good. That's a really good description.
A white furry pepperoni.
That is really funny.
Yeah. Dad, I don't want to go to the grandpa's house. Why, son? He looks like a pepperoni. due to the unwanted fame of the book, this is about Brolin a little bit. He said this. He says he did not get a job for 2 years after doing this movie because of the cruelty of his character, in his opinion. He thinks that he had typecast himself as horrible. It reminds me of that horror movie not too many years ago, although probably 12 now, with Harrison Ford and Nicole Kidman. Do you guys remember this? And Harrison Ford turned, we all thought he was good guy throughout, and at the very end,
oh yeah,
he went crazy and wanted to kill everything and tried to drown her and all this stuff. And he was awful. It was so not Harrison Ford the way you think of Harrison Ford ever. And it reminded me of that.
Nicole Kidman. It was, wasn't it Michelle? Wasn't Nicole Kidman?
It may not have been
Michelle Pfeiffer.
You know what? It was Michelle Pfeiffer. You're right.
Whatever.
You're right. Yeah, it was Catwoman.
Lies Beneath or whatever.
Yeah, Han Solo tried to drown Catwoman.
Scott just completely just destroyed the spoilers for What Lies Beneath.
Some movies. I get if you don't want to know the end of Breaking Bad out there, folks. But
I know. I totally blew that on Friday night on the final score.
Yeah, I forgot. Have you gotten any heat over that?
Not any bad heat, because I immediately sent out a message saying, hey, I'm sorry, don't listen if you haven't watched the final season of Breaking Bad. Because I totally forgot it just came on Netflix. And I was all like, whatever, people, if you haven't seen it by now. But then I forgot, oh, yeah, it just came on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It was a very specific final season.
But,
kind of
reveal. Really, it wasn't that big of a spoiler to me. But anyway.
To me, not at all. But some people see it as the ultimate spoiler of that show. I don't know why. They're wusses. They're totally wusses. Let's see. Due to all the unwanted fame of the book, the film had brought upon the real house of Amityville, and this is great, and I went and confirmed this. The current owners, and I don't know when this changed, and they may not still be owners, but anyway, whoever owns it now, they are now living in that same house, but the evil eye windows are now normal rectangular-shaped windows.
Oh. Right. Did you guys get my
They should
Google?
Have made happy eye windows.
That's
like,
what I said.
I don't even one eyebrow up, one eyebrow down, kind of like.
Yeah.
Thing is, when they were doing that long opening credit and it's just the silhouette of the house with the red eerie light coming out of the two windows.
Yeah.
If I squinted, I could kind of, with my imagination, put a smiley face there.
With my imagination.
The eyes didn't seem that evil. Like, I feel like it's fake. Like, they're opposite of what they should be if they really want to be evil. They didn't have, like, a forward, like... I mean, human beings are all about patterns, right? We see a face in something, or we see Jesus in a piece of toast. It's because we're looking for patterns, and something matches up by random. We're like, oh, yeah, that looks like whatever. That did not look like evil eyes. They looked like dumb eyes. Yeah, like right. Oh, what's going on?
Surprise!
There's people in my mouth.
What? How do these flies get in here?
It made me think of people.
What is my butt hurt?
It made me think of people who put up the computerized lights at Christmas.
Yeah.
And make the house turn into all sorts of different scenes and stuff.
Sure.
I don't know why. I just thought of that. Like, this house would be fun to decorate this house for Christmas.
Yeah, it would be.
It just goes to show you what a wonderful. It's just wonderful happenstances of things that had to happen to make this such a believable story for people to watch. I mean, from the murder that happened before these people moved in to, you know, a bunch of crazy people saying they saw something to a house that has eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It takes all those crazy pieces to make it.
And while you're on that subject, Brian, so now that you've seen the documentaries,
what
factual information, you know, was there a murder in this house?
Absolutely.
I didn't know how much of those.
Right.
Was there a murder in this house where the people being shot at didn't move an inch?
Yes. It's actually one of the things that's so mystifying about the murder, because there's a conspiracy that it was more than one guy, because all of them were shot and they all were on their belly and they're all shot in the back. How he got to each room and did that without anybody waking up.
I can't imagine how he did it in real life, but in the movie, it was stupid.
It was stupid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was stupid. Though, when I'm thinking about the 10-year-old me and why I was freaked out, I think it was the toilet, the flies, and then third, and not necessarily in this order, perhaps the other way around. But for me, children in peril is rough for me. Yeah. I call it the father in me or something, but even when I was little, the idea that little kids would be shot point blank with a shotgun, even now with this cheesy, now I see it now and go, oh man, 79, what are we doing? You know, it looks like garbage. But even those moments, I'm like, shooting a kid point blank, dude, what are you doing? I mean, shooting a kid at all is bad, but that just seems so brutal to me.
I thought this actually looked pretty good. For a movie from 1979, I thought it was
well with that caveat. Visually, sure, sure.
For visually, it was pretty good, except for the you know the red scenes where they're outside.
Yeah, but that's like saying, look, the Brady Bunch had some styling clothes for 1974.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like that, but it was well filmed as well. This was a well filmed movie.
Yeah, it was all right. In my opinion. It was okay.
Right.
Chicken the bucket is
Randy doesn't think it was so well filmed. I mean, it's not going to win any Oscars, but I thought you know for a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, it has yeah, every single thing you need for a horror movie. You need trees with no leaves on them. You need, you know, you need a priest,
a boat house.
You need people who love you and are perplexed by your strange behavior. Who come along and yell at you? Go, Ray, why are you going back in, Ray?
Yeah.
We need you at the office, Ray. Like, that was there were some things like that. Yeah. His name wasn't Ray.
No, it wasn't Ray. No. It was.
And the Zan. most important part was the gateway to hell. You always got to have a gateway to hell.
You know what? Well, sorry, it isn't Mike either. I'll tell you why I thought Mike.
Oh, it's not Mike.
Because last night before I watched this, the kids, me and Kim and my daughter's boyfriend were over and we were watching, we played cards and we watched the movie and we watched Olympus Has Fallen.
Supposedly
the better of the two. It's the Armageddon to the Deep Impact
Die Hard in the White House.
Yeah, White House Down's the other one. And that is big, dumb, stupid fun. In fact, if there was any problem with me watching that last night, it was that it would have been a great film sack movie and still could be, I suppose. But
I'm just glad that you watched it. I suggested that you watch it. There was some concern. I'm glad you watched it.
It is a silly, fun, good time. Yeah. Like it's I've seen both. It's super stupid, you know, from lots of points of view. But I didn't care. And I don't think if you are a diehard fan, and I mean of the movie Die Hard, I don't mean diehard fan of something, then you can't go see this and be mad about it or irritated or even call it a ripoff. Because if you liked what you got in Die Hard, then you will like
don't
what you
call
got
it a
here.
Rip-off.
It's just a big, big, dumb fun. But that guy's name is Mike, and I got him confused. That was the reason I mentioned that.
Just tell me, man. I have, for a long time after that movie, I completely forgot that Jamie Foxx isn't actually the president of the United States.
Right. Well, he's not in that one, though. He's in the other one. He's in White House Down, but yes. It's easy to get confused.
Oh, I was hoping we were talking about White House
Down. No, we're talking about the other one. The Olympus Has Fallen one has Aaron Eckhart. So my kids are so sick of me. Anytime Eckhart came in the room, I'd go, there's Harvey Dent at the top of my lungs. And they were so sick of it. And there's a scene at the end. This is no spoiler because that movie, you know, where everything's going to end up.
Sure.
But 300 man, Leonidas, what's his name? Gerard Butler is walking out with an injured President Aaron Eckhart under his arm. And and my kids have already heard me yell, there's Harvey Dent like 5 times in the movie and they're sick of it. By the end, he's coming out to all the press, all the military, everybody who's outside the White House. And I said, hey, you guys, you know, it'd be great. They're like, Dad. And I go, if he said, look, everyone, there's Harvey Dent one last time. I mean, I don't think my wife's ever been so glad we were done with the movie before than we were last night. I was having a blast. What a big, stupid, freaking fun festival of fun that
and
dumb movie.
That's what,
now I gotta watch
a film sack.
It's ridiculous.
That's what film sack is all about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's ridiculous. Only if you'll watch White House Down.
All right, I'm in. Anyway,
watch them both. Double feature.
Right. Okay. Back to the Amityville horror thing. Can we just admit that we couldn't have had, you know, anything as good as Poltergeist being buried on a Indian graveyard and that kind of stuff without Amityville Horror? I mean, there's so many Insidious, almost all these movies
barely touch on the whole, like, that there was some Indian action going on with Amityville.
Yeah.
Right.
It was like, you know, okay, there's some prisoners in the basement. Who cares about that? There's flies.
Yeah.
Look, there's flies. Flies.
And there's the tar toilet. Don't fall in there. Oh, no, the dog can't tell who you are now because you got covered in toilet water.
Did you guys just get my link in the Skype? No. Rod Steiger, your priest, your priest there.
That guy's great.
He was in a movie in 1969.
Is that him?
The Illustrated Man, it is. There's your preacher's ass right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Tattooed by some experts from 1969.
That's great.
What's
wrong with his feet? Where's he been walking?
His feet.
Look at his feet.
I mean, they're all black, but look at the rest of them.
Yeah, well, he's naked and has a bunch of tattoos, but I'm sure glad that crack is so tightly held there. I don't want to.
He's got three dudes behind him, so he's holding it tight.
Totally.
This is 1969. You didn't get that couple.
Oh, my gosh. Rod Steiger, he's, you know what, as far as performance goes, he's good. He sells it in here.
Yeah.
He's always good, though, right? That guy's.
We saw Outland was him, right?
Yeah. Right?
We saw. Have we seen anything else?
That guy has lived through every major American war except for the Civil War, I swear. Look at that. 25. That meant he saw
2002.
He saw World War I, II, Vietnam, Korea, all of it, and he died in 2002. That's a ripe age of, well, it's 77, so that's pretty ripe.
He's pretty ripe.
He was pretty ripe by then. But that guy's in all kinds of stuff. He was in Mars Attacks, which I guess is maybe some of the most recent. But I remember, like, on the Waterfront was really good. Mm-hmm. Marlon Brando, I think that won Best Picture in '54. I wasn't around then, but he's great.
Plus, he was great in that. Plus, he was in Shiloh.
He's great
in Shiloh too. Yeah.
He was on The Simpsons once.
Some
guy's great.
I guess I'm confused with somebody else that was in Outland. I thought it was him, but I guess it wasn't him.
No. Yeah, I didn't see him anywhere.
Back when I cared about 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, Rod Steiger was a go-to for me. I don't even remember the connections now, but
sure.
I feel like we should have seen him before on Film Sack, but I'm having a hard time placing
him. He must be a lot better at picking movies than a lot of the people in our list.
It's actually a good actor.
He was in Duck, You Sucker.
Oh, Duck, You Sucker.
That one. There you go.
All right, fine. There's a hole in the roof. All right.
Well, Miranda.
I thought Margot Kidder, I'm going to go against Randy here. I think she was good in it. I liked her better than I did as Lois Lane.
Yes.
She seemed real to me.
I didn't like her as Lois Lane either. What's wrong with this?
I didn't like her in there either, but I liked her in this. I thought she was okay. I think she was really pretty in the day. And the rabbit hole I went down. So Brian, you went crazy with the documentaries and everything.
Right.
I just went down a Margot Kidder rabbit hole because I wanted to get to the bottom of where, you know, how did it all turn out for her? Because remember that in the 90s when she was running around naked at night?
She was dazed and wandered in other people's houses or something.
Yeah.
She had problems.
She had some serious like bipolar, like the real stuff, not just someone at the gym going, yeah, I've got bipolar. Or whatever. Like, she has the real thing, like the serious business. And it was really actually kind of an interesting read because she's been through some stuff. And she was married to a bunch of very, really interesting actors and dated a bunch of really interesting guys that you would totally know. But she's really kind of, it went nowhere in the end. I mean, she just kind of, no one cares now.
Right.
She was in an episode of Smallville, which was just kind of a nice little throwaway, like, oh, look, Lois Lane's in Smallville. She was in something else sort of recently, but kind of just now does like cons. She's one of those con people doing $50 portraits. That's her deal now.
Sure.
But she was good looking. I thought totally. I'm not forget about totally front attractive. Inside boob or whatever. Forget about that. She just looked good. I thought she has something about her I like. So here's me talking.
Something about her I don't like. And I think it's her voice, like her countenance. Is there something about it that, I don't feel like she's owning her space in character. You know what I mean? Like, good actors, the character.
I can't wait for you to see her at a Comic-Con and tell her that.
Miss Kidder?
What? I didn't like something you did 35 years ago. Right. Oh, no.
Right. You may not like how she looks now. Things are looking pretty rough.
Go ahead, Randy. Finish.
I don't care how she looks. I don't care how she looks now. There's a couple of spots in the movie where I felt like, oh, she's finally really bringing this character to the forefront. But for most of it, I felt like, man, it would be so interesting to see someone like 90s Meg Ryan in this role or whatever. And it's right. It's a part of the my feeling that the film just hasn't aged well.
Yeah, I would agree. So I'm taking us forever to get around to this, but Ibbet, so you were kind of traumatized by this movie growing up.
I was.
And yeah, I always like it when we do this with a movie where one of us was really affected by it. So how did you do this?
This was a drive-in movie at the Sloan's Lake Drive-In with my mom and my uncle, with Uncle George and my mom. And we'd go out to drive-in movies all the time. And so it seemed like we were always late to them, too. I remember seeing Flashdance in the drive-in, but I think we were like 10 minutes late for that. And what I remember about the Amityville Horror was that we were late and we missed this was the first time I'd seen the opening bit with the original owners of the house getting shot.
Yeah.
Like, I think we drove in and finally parked the car and finally got the little metal thing hanging on the window. Ask your parents, kids.
Yeah, no doubt.
About the time that the real estate agent was taking them through the house. So it was pretty early on, but we missed a lot of the setup stuff where even in the flashback stuff, I don't remember seeing any of that stuff. So it might have been, you know, like the very end of the realtor walking them through and them sitting up in the attic talking about it. But what I do remember about this movie is it freaked the crap out of me. And it was the eyes at the window. I think it did have to do with the flies as well, but it was mostly the music, like the soundtrack, the violins, the psycho style violins. And I just remember being so freaked out that even when commercials for this movie would come on TV after I'd seen it, I couldn't be in the room or whatever. I still would get freaked out and I'd have to look away.
Wow. The pig eye thing was this stuff.
Yeah, that's it right there.
They just stole that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got mad at this movie for that sound thing. And we've talked about it before. The first time James Brolin is sitting by himself by the fireplace and he's looking out the window and suddenly this cat jumps up onto the windowsill and they added the sound of a thousand cats screeching.
Right. I captured it.
And it, I had the volume way up and
it's really bad. The sound work on yells, screams and cats in this movie is busted up.
I think I might let a little enough.
Turn up the volume.
Yeah.
I'm watching this thing at the office with really awesome headphones on. I might have let a little pee out and it just
okay.
It's okay. Frustrating.
I started falling asleep and then Margot Kidder screamed me back to life.
Yeah. She'll wake you out of a dead coma, dude.
Right.
That cat noise you're talking about, I'll play it later, but that made my dog completely lose her mind. So I don't know, because my intent or my impression was that didn't even sound like cats, like not even a group of cats. Like that sounded like fake, maybe a dude on a mic or something. And that was must be something because it
Babcock doing the cat voice,
like exactly
Star Trek.
But it tapped into some weird primal thing with my dog, and I've never seen her quite like this. And she heard it all the way upstairs and came running down here and was just growling and hunting all over the room and sniffing. And every time I play it, she just started barking and getting all freaked out. So something's there.
Maybe she's got the same tinnitus I do now, and I feel for her.
Could be, but.
My dogs slept right in front of me on their beds throughout the entire movie. Like nothing woke them up. None of those over volumed noises. Nothing. Lucky dogs.
Yeah,
right. Lucky dogs.
So, but on the whole, I mean, the stuff that freaked you, I mean, this always happens, right? You see it now and you're like an adult and you're mature now and you get it and you're like, oh, well.
You know, I'm not going to lie though. I mean, the first time, and it didn't happen just now when you played that clip, but the first time that the eyes come up and you hear that noise, you know, it was a little jarring. It was like more than just shock of the noise. Like, oh crap, there that, okay, I'm all right.
And it brings back some of the, I mean, obviously it's going to bring back some of the feeling that it had as a kid. I'm always fascinated by that. I just think that's interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So good. Well, I'm glad we cleared it out of your system. We'll do it with a Minority Report for Dunaway eventually.
Exactly.
You guys should have those discs any day now, by the way.
So before we completely leave Rod Steiger behind, he played the priest ripped off from The Exorcist, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I'm curious, because apparently you guys have looked more into this movie than I care.
His little
to.
Helper, though, is like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, though.
Yeah.
Dexter Morgan.
Yeah. That guy's the worst. Anyway.
But I mean, it is a ripoff of Exorcist, right?
Like only by some kind of weird proxy, though, because he was never really there. He was there for the one fly trip. And then he left, and then fake yacked on the highway, and then never heard from them again in terms of making contact with the people. They tried to get over there, but the car got possessed by a single fly, and then they couldn't get there. So that was a little bit weird for me. To me, it felt like, what's it like? It's back to Die Hard. It's like John McClane having to just radio guy from TGIF all the time. About what's going on, but nobody else is really there to experience it because anytime anybody with any religious background goes near the place, they just start retching.
So that was kind of my take on it. I'm like, okay, so The Exorcist is actually a good movie. It's actually a fine film, a character study about a priest who's struggling with losing his faith, right?
Yeah,
and it's like the people making this movie go, okay, well, let's take the bare semblance of that, and we'll have a priest. And we'll give you all of these slow shots and other people going to Father, are you okay? And this sort of thing. And you'll just be reminded of something better. And that'll do.
Yeah, the bottom line is they said, oh, Exorcist was good because it had a priest. Let's have a priest in our film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They did kind of address this in one of the documentaries. I forget which one now, but they talked about one of the reasons why there seems to be such a Catholic or priest influence in these horror movies is because they're generally the ones who have they talk a lot about spirits.
Oh, they're the ones casting out demons and stuff, sure.
Right, right. So, I mean, if you have something that's a possessed house, it kind of makes sense to bring in that. But, yeah, it was kind of cookie cutter.
Oh, no, I've got a friend who is devoutly Catholic and has no... there's no qualms about it. He is 100% sure that there are a bunch of demons walking around right now, and they're about ready to hop into any one of us the second we let down our guard. We're all just going to have demons in us. He couldn't play World of Warcraft past the first vanilla game because the expansion was all about demon invasion, and he just couldn't deal with it. That is hammered into those guys. I mean,
the dark portal.
Yeah, no offense. I mean, whatever for everybody, but I'm just saying that does seem to be it's an easy thing because they're the one doing exorcisms, and they're the one with some historical precedence for this kind of active involvement. And oh my gosh, that guy's thrashing around. It can't just be epilepsy. He must have a demon in him. So there's history with that. And I think that just makes them an easy trope in a movie.
The only thing they mentioned in any of the documentaries was the fact that the priest did show up the first day they moved in, which is pretty typical of a family like that to have a house blessed.
Yeah, they come bless the house, sure.
Yeah, and he left early, and that was about it. That's all he said.
He blessed the flies and then got out of there.
He's like, I'm out of here.
And for my money, the best scene in this film is when the three, the three leaders of the parish all sit there and argue about whether or not there's something going on.
Were they in though? Like one of those, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's like they were on a construction site.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Let's get out of here. Like we've Catholic this place up.
Like the place in the second season of Justified they kept hanging out in down by the mine. It was like one of those.
Are?
Yeah.
Well, oh,
like
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Right. Like it's one of those temporary.
Yeah.
Lean-to kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm what are you doing, man?
Like it was actually the scene, though, that really held up for me because it was about politics, about Catholic politics.
Yeah.
And this idea that these people whose position in their community is a purely emotional one.
Right.
You know, the emotional connection they have with their parishioners.
Right.
And what they think matters. That was so interesting, and it was so lost. Just came and went, and oh, Catholic politics. This is okay, now we're back to the house. And there's a babysitter.
Yep. Yep. And she's got the worst headgear on earth.
Right.
That thing needed extra people. Like there's probably some guy in the credits. Dude who held up the medal for that girl. Gaffer man or something. Anyway, that was interesting. I do have a trope though, so let's get that out of the way. That's one we brought up before, and I think Dunaway did on a previous film, and maybe we all have at some point, but nobody ever tapped on a hang-up mechanism on their phone to get the call to come in better.
But they do.
No, that would hang up your call.
Exactly. Yeah. I never understood that.
Why do people do that in movies?
Movies only. I never once. We had phones like that growing up, and never did I go tack, tack, tack to get my grandma to come through better.
I did it, but immediately, this is, you got to remember, this is during the late 70s. An operator came on and said, stop messing with the phone.
What?
No way. Really? Seriously? Yeah.
That's epic.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and there was a point, there was a time frame.
Hey, you know what you're doing? Don't do that anymore.
Hey, you're really clicking that phone over there? You're driving me nuts.
That would have freaked me out. I would have completely freaked me out. And my grandma used to be she was a local board operator for the phone company here in Salt Lake. And I suppose she had that kind of power probably.
She just scared the crap out of me.
Oh, man. Never,
didn't touch the phone for years.
there was a time frame when you double click on the thing to answer call waiting.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was weird.
Or to get another dial tone so you could do a conference call. Like you'd tap the hang up button.
But that'd be worse than this. So let's say Margaret Kidder existed in that era. It'd be worse. She'd just be getting new lines and, I'd answer a call from an incoming one. And cell phones would have really helped.
And
the coverage was terrible on this
film. Oh, let's talk about that too. Like I guess the demon would have just taken away your cell coverage, right?
Yeah.
When you go onto this property, you would just lose a connection to AT&T.
Pretty much.
All right.
That's the impression I have. Chick in the Bucket. Can we talk about a couple of those?
So many of them.
Hell yes.
I'm so enthusiastic.
I was gonna play it. Here's our Chick in the Bucket theme.
Chicken shit money.
There you go.
Perfect.
I've served a lot of fried chicken to my family.
That one's all right, too. I'm trying to...
You think you got enough chicken there?
All right, anyway. Chicken in a bucket. For me, it was those things on Lois's face, or Margot Kidder's face, that were these big lesions on her hands and face.
Oh, yeah.
That she was freaking out about. It was right after the cross went hot. And then it was one of those things, Brian, you were talking about, like a couple days later, suddenly time had passed and,
right.
and no one was the wiser.
5 days between that, the day that that happened. And then the next day they show the people in the house.
Yep.
It's like,
yep.
Well, what?
And that was weird because her hands and her face were covered in these giant gray lesions and then nothing else. So to me, that was chicken the bucket.
Looking in the worst possible mirror in that house.
Oh, like, my gosh. That mirror. Wait.
Oh, my God. There are all these brown streaks on my face. Oh, no. That's just the mirror pattern. Yeah,
that's the pattern. It's the 70s.
Hated those, mirrors in the 70s.
They poorly illustrated something that was in a book and everything else, and that was the fact that there was a visual appearance change in these characters during this time, mm-hmm. and they just poorly executed it.
Well, they did it pretty well with Brolin, right? Like making him look like just like crap. Haggard.
Tired and haggard,
sweaty
and sweaty all the time, and pale, and
they turned him into a demon so quickly that it was disconcerting.
A little jarring,
Like it wasn't like. Because he really is gorgeous, like a beautiful man. Completely really covered.
You're just saying that because of the beard, aren't you?
But but you got to admit, the first time you got a close look at him, you thought that's a fake beard.
No, he's a good looking guy.
But the first time you saw the beard, it looked like a fake beard.
But it's real. He's growing that business. It was all in service for his eventual pepperoni look that he's got now. But but he is a specimen of a dude. He could act. Oh, you're just reminding me how wasted he is in this movie, how he's not.
They put a bunch of splotches all over his face and have him stare off in the distance sweating. Yeah. And that's supposed to scare you. And just doesn't.
In this scene, sweat.
Pays the bills. Pays the bills. He had some funny moles. It's just something I noticed. During their awkward, weird reflection in that poo mirror Brian was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Couldn't deal with that. All right. What else here?
In the bucket.
How about, more chicks in the bucket. Brian, you think you have the ultimate one. Do you want to?
Well, yeah.
Should we wait for last?
Here's a slight runner. Yeah, let's do that. The big one last, but here's a runner up.
All right, go.
The money. Like,
the money. You know,
the demons need money for what?
here's what I figured. I figured that at some point they would banish something like the babysitter, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she would just find herself in $1,500 of cash. Like, wherever you go to when you fall into this other dimension, there's a bunch of money there.
At least you've got cash, right?
Yeah.
That was weird. I forgot that even. Those are the best chicks in the buckets because I don't even remember them half the time. Because they just glance over it. It's like, oh, all right. And then they got the mobster guy who's been in a million mobster movies complaining that he's giving him a check. That guy was a bit of a chick in the bucket.
Checks on cash. Cash is cash.
And I'm like, is freaking somebody gonna come out of the corner and off this guy? Like,
right?
You want me to rub him out?
Exactly.
And apparently, they all knew that he was kind of shady, mm-hmm. or they wouldn't have been getting the cash together in the first place.
Exactly.
Right.
That guy
was
weird. All right.
Although you know, George did prove him right. Like, oh yeah, the check bounced. Well, see, that's what you get for taking a check.
Yeah. Way to go, dumbass. Dunaway, what do you say? Is it chick in the bucket here? Do you have a major one?
I really missed the flies. They just kind of stopped showing up. They were there for a while. I was expecting them to follow them out as they were running away, but it just didn't happen.
The remake, is that the like 2009 or 2010 one, whatever?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's
like
garbage.
What was it?
But it's something like that in the 2000s. But do we know if they? I've not
Leo
seen
it. In it. Who won the Academy Award a couple of years ago for the Fighter.
Yeah, she was also, by the way, in that Olympus Has Fallen deal. And you may think differently about her after that. And it's not that she can't act. It's that, you should see it. First of all, I didn't recognize her. Now, I know she plays older, because she is older, and she plays these different kind of characters. We played Secretary of State in this thing. And she's getting beat up real bad and like yanked around and mistreated by the way, bad guy in that movie, Korean dude, totally familiar the whole time, head terrorist man. And I'm thinking, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And it finally clicked. It was the Korean dude in that final Halle Berry James Bond movie that had like the diamonds in his face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Diamond face.
Yeah, and they overdubbed them the entire freaking time.
Diamond face.
So anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. What was the point of that? Melissa. She's in that movie. Sorry, Melissa.
Right. Ryan Reynolds was the lead in that.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was all right.
God, he is
Chloe
a gorgeous
Grace
man.
Moretz in there. Philip Baker Hall. Wow, playing
I think Philip Baker Hall was required by Paramount to be in all horror movies for a certain time.
I think it's Melissa George you're thinking of. Not
That's
Melissa
who I'm
Leo.
Thinking of, because I was thinking Melissa Leo from the Netflix. I could have sworn said Melissa Leo, and I'm thinking, wow, this was a few years before The Fighter, but I think maybe I read it wrong.
Jesse James is in
Melissa George is a lot hotter than Melissa Leo.
Yes. No offense.
I'm glad we've established that. Yeah, by the no way, offense. Ryan Reynolds is a lot hotter than James Brolin.
I don't know.
Oh, it's got Philip
no.
Baker
Hall. Oh, there's no, oh, no, 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 there's no question.
Dude, Philip there's Baker no. Hall's in it. Yeah. Is he the priest?
He's the priest. Yeah, he's the Rod Steiger character.
Oh, I'm in then. Yeah. I love that guy.
The entire priesthood is my chick in the bucket in this movie. It's they keep being just left wherever they are, and in the end, and there is no end to this movie, but it finally does end. It stops, and everybody who isn't in the station wagon leaving town basically is a chick in the bucket, and it's weird. Why can't we get any resolution in this movie?
Yeah.
We even have to read some text on a screen that doesn't provide resolution.
Let's put it this way. If this story were to emerge today, I think this would probably have been more fitted to a found footage kind of film.
Yes.
But with no answers.
Yeah.
Just sure,
that's sure. your haunted house movies now, by the way. I know there's some others, but I think that's where your money is.
Your paranormal activity.
Right. I'm just saying, Brian Dunaway, give me an excuse. Like, they meant to make a part two. That's a good excuse.
Oh, absolutely. I think that was their whole idea, was to say, oh, let's move another family in. Yeah, absolutely.
Just keep them coming. Well, isn't that what they did? The sequels are like that, right?
Right.
Yeah, they weren't just them coming back, I don't think.
Well, the sequel wasn't, but the remake was.
The remake's a complete remake. You're right.
Right.
I'm kind of interested in seeing it now. Is that streaming? Probably
it's not streaming.
Oh, it's not.
Nope, I just checked. Neither is it. Amityville: A New Generation.
No,
which,
Lord.
Oh
my gosh!
I love when movies have like a reboot with A New Generation.
Yeah, the Data and Riker move into the house.
Right. So wait, what year? Oh, that's so. There's the Amityville Haunting. That's 2011. And is that a retelling?
Don't forget Amityville 3D.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Who just said it should have been a found footage movie? Is that you, Dunaway?
Yes.
You're a damn genius. So in 2011, The Amityville Haunting came out, brand new movie. It's all fake. It's not a documentary, but it's a found footage film about the Benson family funny. Move into the infamous house. So they've moved in.
They're not named the Lutz family?
No.
Gosh, that's a great name, isn't it?
Also, the house on the cover of that thing is wrong. And it has a whopping 2.7 out of 10 on that now.
Sweet.
IMDb. Yeah.
There's something called Amityville Asylum.
What's that? That sounds bad.
That's brand new.
Whatever. They milk these things forever.
The one you were talking about, Scott, wasn't Amityville Horror, The Lost Tapes, right? Which
no.
is brand new, like 2014.
What?
Found footage tells the horrific tale of what happened when a TV journalist and her team of paranormal experts visited the house at 112 Ocean Avenue in the 70s, just months after the book and infamous movie exposed the evil that resides there. So
that's just
and that
this
happened
year?
Too. Yeah.
That's this year, in 2014, it says. Hasn't been released on DVD.
Apparently, the Amityville Horror has given us dozens, hundreds of follow-ups.
Right.
Yeah, none of them notable, clearly. But it does feel, what I always think to myself? Today is a weird time because, Saw was kind of interesting in its own way, but then there's 50 million Saw movies since that are just all trash. And then you think of the same thing with this Paranormal Activity movies or, these trends in horror movies today and how they just milk them. And I think, well, that's definitely a thing of our time. No, dude. Hellraiser, Amityville. Think of all these movies, even the Omen movies. They just keep traipsing it out as long as they can. And it's just shittier every time they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's not anything new. I've learned something, I think, today. That we just recycle the same garbage and we always have and we always will. It's no different.
Oh, yeah.
It's just when you're kids, you buy into it because you don't know any better. So, we all head off to the theater. I mean, occasionally someone will get something right and you'll go, wow, Aliens really was good. But how many times has that happened since? Not very
so
many.
I got to thinking about this, how I asked myself coming away from this movie, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen? Like, what's the movie that really got you? And I decided it was either the original Ring or the original Grudge, which I like to call Ringu and Grudgeu.
Grudgeu. Right.
And those two movies are freaking scary.
So I've seen either one of them.
But see, it's got to be relative, right, to the time that you saw it. Like seeing The Exorcist when I was a kid was another big scary movie. Seeing it now, not so much. But is there anything that I see now that would scare me as much as Amityville Horror or Exorcist?
Hellraiser still sort of got me.
Really?
It scared me real bad at the time, and then we saw it again for the show. It still had moments where I was like, ooh, ugh. That still bugs me right there or whatever.
So here's the thing. I don't consider The Ring and The Grudge to be very entertaining because they sacrifice everything about a movie except messing with you as a viewer. Like they throw away everything else. All they exist to do is mess with you while you sit there and watch it. And I don't find that terribly entertaining. After a few frights, I'm just sitting there preparing my brain for the next fright.
Yeah.
A really great horror movie, the kind of movie where I go, wow, The Exorcist, I can see why that's considered a great movie in addition to being scary, is because it has all these other things. It has all of the parts of a great film. And those are what relax you and set you up to be scared. Because you care about the characters, you're hearing the music and so forth. And then when the cat jumps up on the windowsill, you freak out. And that can be entertaining, but not for everybody, right? Like there's people who they just never, ever see horror movies, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are. I can tell you that the last time I've just kind of reacquired a taste for wanting to see scary movies. For a long time there, I had no interest at all. Like I didn't want to see anything scary, whether it was even schlocky and dumb or actually scary or whatever. I avoided successfully all the Saw movies at the time. I've since seen a few of them and they're just kind of dumb. But I thought I was doing myself a real favor because I typically reacted badly to this, or I just had long, dumb dreams for weeks or whatever. And I think it's a taste you have to, you know. I don't know. I'm probably weird and different that way, but now I'm kind of into it. I'm like, give me something scary. Give me something weird.
Well, then we should throw The Grudge on, or the Japanese Grudge on our list because it is streaming. Ju-on.
It's streaming.
The Japanese Grudge.
We wouldn't do much with, is it dubbed?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure it's got subtitles.
If it's, well, it has subtitles. For clips.
No, it wasn't dubbed. I saw it.
I just mean for clips.
When I saw it, I was reading subtitles, and that's another thing. And
It says audio English, subtitles English.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay. That I'm into. Because that'll be weird, right?
Let's check it and see.
Okay.
Got a fever of 103.
Someone had to do it. I'm glad you did it. No, it's great. Right. It's perfect. All right. So we never got to the chicken in the bucket that you think is the big one.
I was going to say it would have been really funny if we never would have gotten to it. That would have been this episode's chicken in the bucket. Very meta. All right. The for me, and again, maybe it was too much setup and this will fall flat for everybody, but the biggest chick in the bucket was the bum that mysteriously shows up with a six pack of Miller to welcome them to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then disappears. Was he a demon? Was he just a bum?
Was he just a lousy angel neighbor?
What are you talking about, man?
Oh, he was there to defend him, you think?
Right.
But didn't he show up again on a phone call or something? Like
everybody was on a phone call. It was a party line.
But
I didn't think we saw him at all.
What am I thinking of?
She left him to go take the call.
Oh.
And then when she came back, he was gone.
I may have confused
and
when
the
she,
beer was gone.
It might have been when she called Buffalo Bill about where the priest was.
I can't keep straight all the calls.
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore who called who when.
He's even the Buffalo Bill guy's kind of a chick in the bucket. Like a lot of really weird ancillary things happen that then just have zero resolution to them. Like nothing. Like no other mention. What happened to the nun? What was her deal? I don't know.
You're the driving nun. I'm sorry. I'm from a small town. We don't have a lot of nuns.
Yeah.
I thought it was unusual that a nun was driving. Are they not Amish? Really?
What do you think they're supposed to have?
He thinks they're supposed to be cloistered 24/7.
I don't know. Aren't they supposed to be at the nunnery giving away babies or something?
24/7. Here's your cloister. You stay there.
Right.
Except when you're hired out to babysit a bunch of children and teach them how to sing.
Yeah, no, I think they drive fine. I think they drive together and alone, and I don't think that's a big issue. But her coming, getting all weird, leaving, yakking on the side of the road again, but in a way that was totally weird.
I love how they had the puke off screen. Yeah. Like, they wouldn't do that these days. No,
it's like let it rip.
You'd be in the mouth.
Speaking of stuff they showed that I didn't think they were going to show, man, I squirmed when he got his hand slammed in the window.
The kid? Yeah, that's hard to watch.
Instant blood splatter. It was awesome.
What was his Did he have a blister or something? Because I don't know.
But again, but the window ended up being a chick in the bucket because it slammed down. Two grown strong men couldn't open it. She couldn't do it when she helped. None of the kids could help. Nobody could get it open. Cut to the scene where they're leaving the hospital. Well, how'd you get out then?
I know, dude.
Right.
From butter. The magic hand crusher, dude.
Butter and Vaseline. That's it.
we don't need to show that. Audience
once again, I must refer to my superior documenting knowledge of. But no, they did say stuff like they said that, oh, well, the house didn't really want us to move out. But, you know, creepy things were happening.
I hate stuff like that. I looked up a bunch of... So here's what I did to get freaked out. I said, you know what? I want to see some... Show me some paranormal photos. You know, let's go to Google Image Search and do some photos. And you forget just how many of those, held in high esteem by those who believe in them, are the most photoshopped pieces of shit you've ever laid your eyes on. It's blowing so eyes. Bad. I just don't buy into this stuff. There's a reason why a dark, scary basement is dark and scary to a 10-year-old. It's because all of your human instincts tell you to get out of a place that is potentially dangerous. It isn't because there's a little short man with devil eyes down there. Anyway, there's that. What else? We got anything else? It was too long. Too much sitting around talking about stuff. It was too long.
I tell you, it was a chicken in the bucket.
How did they haunt the car?
Last 2 hours of my life.
How did they haunt the car? Was it the fly? The fly can just haunt the car?
Well, it's just the, I guess, the remote.
Right,
the remote demons, right?
Right.
Yeah, like, all right, we'll stay here and manage the house. You guys go ride in the car with the priest. You go follow the nun, make a puke.
Yeah. And by the way, regardless of haunting, $80K is a steal for a house in Long Island with a freaking boathouse.
Yeah. Yeah,
on a lake. Good Lord. Yeah. They're over there arguing, going, I don't know if we can do 80 grand. Like, yeah, you're idiots.
That annoys me all the time seeing in movies where they have to do the hard sell. It's like, no, honey. So why even sell? Why even show that part if all you're going to do is go, no, honey, act disinterested as they show us the house?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't either. Mm-hmm. And just moaning about the price. You guys are going to be rich one day when you resell that thing. I don't care who died in it. By the way, I have a personal experience with this. So not with that house, but I have relatives. I won't say who because they are mortified about it. And they'll know if I mention it, but nobody else knows who they are. Anyway, the point is they had a house 5 years ago, I guess. They got this screaming deal on it. Didn't know why. Just seemed like, wow, that's so cheap for location and where it is and what's going on. And they move in and they live there and they do their time or whatever. And they're going to sell again because they want to move closer to something. And so they're about to sell it. And then they find out that, and they were never told this and it was never disclosed before, but there was a murder homicide in that house. So some couple, I want to say it was two dudes. One of them was jealous over something.
Two dudes.
And well, that only makes it worse for the person in question because she's super homophobic. But anyway.
There's gay ghosts in here.
Right, exactly.
The worst guy.
So this guy shot his lover, then shot himself in the basement where they had their, you know, where they lived there. And they were so angry about it. And I remember at the time wondering why they were so angry and knowing that I would be angry too, but I don't know why I'd be angry. Like in other words, I do not believe in hauntings or that there's ghosts, whatever, but somehow I feel like I just would need to know before I bought that somebody killed somebody and then themselves in the basement of this house I'm in. Why do you, what is that in people that we just, you know, that I would have been incensed if I was them. Like on the one hand, I was like, why are you so mad? No big deal. You got a good deal. And, but on the other hand, I'm like, oh, that would have been terrible. Is it just because we don't like to think about it? Is it?
But, you know, I think that the haunted house thing wouldn't really bother. I mean, like, I wouldn't really be bothered if somebody died in the house. I'd like to know because I'd like to know where they covered up the stains and that kind of stuff. And I would like to know these people who bought this house bought the furniture that was still in the house.
I noticed.
Right.
New.
Broken cribs and
the beds where people were shot and stuff. Yeah.
Ew,
the mattress, was maybe gone, but
yeah.
I mean, my dad, I remember, okay, sorry, I don't mean to be doing all these stories, but he brought home a Buick LeSabre from a car auction because he was buying cars and reselling them. He brought home a LeSabre and he pulled this thing into the driveway and I thought, oh, that thing's cool. I can take a date in that, you know, whatever. It's like the mid-80s. And I remember him saying, oh, no, you can't drive this one. I'm like, why? And he says, well, come take a look. And he showed me the driver's side, what do you call the thing, headrest?
Right,
is completely blackened with something. And then most of the shoulder part is also blackened down to a point that it fades into the gray of the upholstery.
Oh, God. Okay.
And he says, come over here and look at this. He says, notice how this windshield's new. I said, yeah. And he says, and the other side's different and older. Yeah. Okay. And he goes, now look at this. He opens up the door and there is a bullet hole down by where the little speaker nab where your feet are. And there's still a bullet in there rattling around. And it was a gang shooting or something like that, where somebody came up behind this guy, behind his head, shot through the window, killed him, and then just soaked everything in blood. And my dad got like, it was supposed to be like a $5,000 car. He ended up paying like $300 for this thing at auction and then sold it for a ton because he replaced the thing and everything else.
Replace the seat.
But nobody else is ever, he is not required by law to tell anybody, but yeah, somebody died in this car in some horrible, violent act of crime. And they don't know. They're just driving around a car they got a good deal on. That kind of stuff is so weird to me.
The Johnson car.
And I don't believe, it's not the guy's haunting the glove box. Boo! Hey, I was shot in this thing. I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like I'm telling ghost stories. It's kind of fun. Anyway, what?
I had a string of interesting experiences trying to buy a house a few years ago, and I actually walked away from a couple of deals. And I was surprised to find out, at least in Texas, how much you could actually trade on superstition. Because it's not the case in everywhere you go.
Right.
It's not the case that you have to say anything at all that isn't material. And there's a big difference between material and superstitious to, you know, the sale. But man, people would not claim something that damaged the home and would tell you about something purely emotional.
Right.
They would happily tell you about how, you know, how they had such great luck while living there.
Yeah. So they would, the positive
dog died over there,
but it was always on the positive side, right? Like, like this house, you know, like if a house survived a hurricane while all the other houses in the neighborhood went down, somehow you're buying lucky house.
Right. Yeah. Lucky house.
Yeah. tornado survivor homes are a good example, actually.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But where tornadoes are just so random, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and this house here is tornado proof. Just step right in.
Yeah. You see, you could sell that to a lot of people who are worried about stuff, you know? I could totally see that. Speaking of random, I got a lot of random clips to play.
Oh, good.
And they're from this film.
I wanted to sneak in one last trope.
What's that? Oh, hold on. Let's sneak it in right
here. Muskrat.
Oh.
What are we sneaking in there, Scott Bratton?
Oops.
Anytime you have a question whether someone's going crazy, you're not exactly sure. It's a guy, usually, almost always a guy, but you're wondering, is he going off the deep end?
Mm.
When you get home and he's chopping wood, that's your sign.
Yeah.
He's got an axe and he's chopping wood, he is gone crazy. That is a rule. You just get back, you drop your groceries, you get back in the car, you leave, because that man is going crazy. The axe tells you.
Unless you're Jean-Luc Picard in the time ribbon and you're catching Captain Kirk out chopping wood. That's the only exception.
He was always crazy.
Yeah,
there was no doubt. Like, Kirk lived a whole life crazy. But man, that trope is just, it was so obvious. Like, I actually, before they introduced the chopping block, I thought, I wonder if he's going to end up chopping
wood. Also, there is sure an awful lot of The Shining in this story, you know?
Yeah.
It's basically The Shining, and I wonder. I'm kind of question these stories, and most people, like, even, there's a bunch of trivia about how the cast is like, yeah, this is all fake. I mean, nobody really had these experiences in this house. Like, nobody really believes it. And partly in me, it's because, you stole the idea from Stephen King, you bunch of bastards. I don't know when that book came out, but anyway, here's the clips. Here's one about Hollywood. Oh, you know what it is? Did they overuse this? But back in the day, I don't know when this changed, but nobody did their own kind of Foley and sound work. They would use, you know, big caches of Hollywood stock stuff, and one of them is the sound of lightning, and that's what you got a ton of this from. It may as well be.
That's exactly the same clip.
That's what I was trying to think of. It was Scooby-Doo. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. That is hilarious. Here's Marty McFly's principal again. He was in it for a very brief moment. So there's two Back to the Future connections in this movie. Yeah, here he is talking at the beginning. He's one of the cops.
All shot in the feds execution style.
Only the mother shot in the head.
Yeah, he was out there talking about the crime scene.
We saw him in Masters of the Universe too, right?
Yeah, He-Man. Yep.
Yep.
You were correct about that. Fixer upper that could be. Here's your realtor lady. So here's your clock tower lady from Back to the Future. Whoops.
I like
like to refer to this as a fixer-upper that can be fun.
I wish she would have been around more.
Fixer-upper.
Okay, she made a weird noise, though. I want you guys to decipher it. So she said this.
Oh.
There you go. That was it.
Oh. Oh.
Isn't that weird?
Okay.
Save the clock tower.
Oh.
She makes some really weird noises.
Yeah, she was strange. Okay, they're fooling around.
You are so bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it is her voice. Maybe it is something in her.
It's definitely her voice, but just her general demeanor. I don't know. It's just not right.
All
right.
If a ghost said this to me and I was covered in flies, I would do what it said. So here's this. Get out.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Canada. It was a Canadian ghost. Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Sorry. Sorry. But
sorry, I'm about to scare you with a bunch of flies, eh? All right. How about this one? Listen to a priest cough badly. You ready? Here we go. Some hacking from a priest. Here you go.
It's like the driest.
Oh. It is so great. I love making that noise over and over to get people to laugh. You know, like when you're at the office and everybody's working diligently and you just start coughing like a cat.
Yeah. It's like that guy's got the dry heaves for sure. I don't know what this is. Here you go.
Hello.
Oh. No.
Phone.
Hello.
So glad you captured that. I'd forgotten.
It's almost sing-song. You put that in like some remix.
Hello.
You could have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. All right, here's the cat, and I wouldn't be surprised if my dog hears this somehow and starts barking upstairs. So here you go. Gosh, dang it.
Why did you do that to me?
Poor listeners.
Oh, Scott.
Oh, she's barking. I just heard her bark. How is that possible? It's just my headphones. Can the dog hear that?
Sure.
Through a floor?
Through headphones and all that.
That seems crazy.
I could hear it in the future.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right, here's the nun. Now her turn to retch. Okay, so here you go with her. What the heck, dude?
It sounds like she's throwing up through her belly button.
Yeah.
The puke is coming out of the center of her belly.
That's an actress who just got coached 2 minutes earlier on how to make the puke sound.
Yeah.
By Rod Steiger.
Yeah, that was great.
Do it like my tattoos.
Do it like me, she said. Here's the other priest barfing as well. No, that's the cat.
Oh, God. Scott Johnson.
Just kidding. It's the cat. Let's see. Really loud. Here's a really loud Nicole. Nicole, what am I saying? What's her name? Margo Kidder scream thing. Here you go. There you go, dude. Listen, they have the worst idea of what overamplification means in the movies in the 70s.
Golly.
Jeez, how distorted can you get? All right, this is what Brian Ibbett said last time he saw. I always like these Brian Ibbett ones. Last time he saw Celebrity Apprentice, all right? So here's you right after you just saw that episode. Right here.
I wasn't sick. I just didn't like meatloaf.
There you go. That's what he said. Because remember Meatloaf was on there?
I know. Actually, I liked Meatloaf in that.
Yeah, he was actually good in that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Celebrity Apprentice, you want everybody to win except the Trumps. Like, I really, really wish there was a Celebrity Apprentice where all of the celebrities won and Donald and his daughter were, like, deported or something.
Had to go, yeah. Just leave his toupee on the table. That's it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I'm out. It's hot.
Yeah. Who? His daughter?
Yeah.
Is she hot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I think so.
I haven't
paid
attention.
Look who he mated with to make that thing.
To make that thing. All right.
Ivanka is interviewed in that first Born Rich film by Jamie Johnson. And she's like the only totally chill and normal super wealthy kid.
I've heard that about her.
I believe it. Yeah.
I've heard that about her. I don't know how you get that way under the tutelage of Weirdo Man, but somehow it worked out.
No kidding.
In the 70s, nobody liked cars.
How about a mechanical defect? I'd blame Detroit a lot faster than the devil. Seems like every month there's some kind of recall.
Boy, they're just ripping into Detroit.
I'm for Detroit. Worse than the devil.
Take that, GM, Chrysler, Ford. Who else? Is that it? That's it. Jeep? Oh, they're Chrysler. All right, here you go. Here's an angry acting moment. It's Rod Steiger doing what he does best.
Right here. I am not some pink cheek seminarian who doesn't know the difference between the supernatural and a bad clam. I am a trained psychotherapist. I went into that house, and what I saw there was real. What I felt there was real. And what I heard there was real.
Jeez.
But,
What?
I thought he said pink Jeep during the movie. Yeah, I now hear that he said pink cheek, meaning like a young person.
I had to
look up pink Jeep earlier because I was thinking, what the hell is a pink Jeep?
You just find like
it's where you go get bad clams.
Yeah. There's a pink Jeep safari or something. I was like, okay, whatever.
Some Barbie place. But,
trope alert.
Oh, what? Hold on now.
When has there ever been a professional Catholic who needed to be convinced of the existence of Satan?
Oh, good point.
Satan? Seriously?
Like, what? Why is this argument happening? Who is this guy?
He's great. I liked his practical approach to everything. It's like, it's probably just the car.
Yeah, the car decided to lock up the steering wheel, lock up the brakes, and throw the hood up at the same time.
Thanks for coming to my semi-container office and see your way out. here's some bad... Oh, I just kept
a bad clam.
I'm just going to play that all the time.
A bad clam.
It's pretty good.
So it made him puke.
All right, how about this one? I love it when we find something I can't decipher. So you had your pink Jeep moment, but now we know what that is. How about this one? You guys got to help me. I have no idea what he said here. It was the one priest mumbling it on the way while they were on their way out, and I can't tell, so here it is.
You could do with a haircut and shave.
All right. Could do with a haircut and a shave.
You could do with a haircut and shave.
Oh, that would do with a haircut and a shave?
He's telling Buffalo Bob father that he could look a lot better, or that, you know, that he's a little unkempt for the cloth.
Buffalo Bob father. Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay, wait, I want to hear it one more time. Hold on.
You could do with a haircut and shave.
Oh, that's totally what it is. I was like, you could heck up my cape, but blah, blah. I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah, stick your hand up my cape.
Yeah, stick your hand up my cave. My cave? What? All right.
Vagina looks like a cave.
Yeah, there you go. How about this one? This is your chick in the bucket.
Everybody wanted to come over to welcome you to the neighborhood.
I like how I kept sniffing.
Welcome you to the neighborhood.
He had like four chicks in the bucket inside of the bucket that he was in. The sniffing was supposed to be significant.
Right. The fact that he brought beer. That was
weird.
I'm the spokesperson for this street.
Well, take a guess. Was he a neighbor? Was he a ghost? Was he a demon?
I'm guessing that he was a demon or something. That, you know, if she were to let him into the house, it would be like similar to the vampire thing. We're like, all right, you're welcoming. But I don't know. I mean, that's such a stretch.
I'm not fully convinced about everybody. Like, they so completely ignored the children in this movie that I questioned why the children were in the movie, and then I found myself questioning whether the children were real.
Yeah, I agree with you. The kids were handled very strangely.
It's funny you say that, because in the very beginning of the movie, he tells the realtor that he's got two boys and a girl, and she says, "Stop messing with them."
Mm-hmm. No. She said that because they originally lied that they just got married.
Which
they were just making this joking lie about how they're newlyweds,
and that's when she said this.
Oh, right, like,
yeah, but that's why.
I didn't. Can I make that connection either?
Ryan and Randy's right.
But I was gonna actually take that as evidence for my case that things may not be what they seem. Maybe they are newlyweds. Maybe they don't have children, because the children are so ignored.
Yeah,
like it's so weird how the children are. Referred to, and then occasionally they're a part of their lives. But I mean, you know, like there's only really two scenes that really matter as far as the kids go. And one of them, they're playing, and like there's a girl in the garden, and they're dropping a spider on a string and whatever. I'm just like, why is this in this movie?
Yeah, it felt out of place. And every once in a while, she'd talk about her imaginary friend, which I understand what that did for the plot. But it was just like, why are we never seeing anything else about these kids? Like, it could have been a Bruce Willis's. Not his wife isn't answering him because he's not really alive. You know, it was that kind of thing. And I couldn't tell.
Can you imagine if you left your like 10-year-old daughter with a babysitter and the babysitter spent the entire night locked in a closet
with the light off?
You mean brace face?
you would like that would change the rest of your relationship with your daughter for the rest of your life.
Oh, forever. Like,
it was so horrific, and it was just brushed aside after the original shock.
And what were they at the thing? Was it a wedding they were at? Who got married? Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was her brother.
Her brother. Yeah. He lost the $1,500.
Right. He was the
Which
brother.
I would have tore that house up and down.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Whereas James Brolin's like, I don't know.
I'll pay for
it. What do you mean? It's around here somewhere, or it's not, or whatever.
I'll do it with a check.
Here's the paper band. So apparently, you know, the demon took the money and just left their trash.
It's great. We got a bad clam. Nope, we don't. I already played that. How about this one? We did. No, we already played that. How about weird sounds from Margo? So she made a weird sound too. So here's that.
Was that during the sex scene?
No, that's when she's looking in the mirror at her face modules. Yeah.
That's right.
She's about to start singing Jamaica by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nicely done. All right. Stop nagging at me. Here you go.
Will you stop nagging at me?
Sounds like a son.
Stop nagging at me, woman.
And let's end it with a slap fight. There you go.
Jeez, this movie.
She was a little slow with the yell. I'm like,
yeah.
That hurt.
Delayed reaction slap.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That'll hurt later.
So there you go. That's your clips. And now the checklist. The 70s era mirror that you can barely see through. Check. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Teen babysitter with giant headgear braces. Check. And that creepy kids hardly say anything through the whole movie. Check. Yeah, we've talked about all those things during that thing. Star Trek connections include a bunch. I will mention a couple of big ones. We have a stunt driver, Bruce Paul Barbour, in this movie. On Enterprise, he performs a bunch of episodes, stunts, and DS9 as well. And let's see, no actors. We got a music editor, Kenneth Hall. He was a Nemesis's supervising music editor. Some people think highly of the music in this movie, but I thought it was kind of wasn't that big a deal. So I'm going to give it I'm giving the grade of to this let's sum it up in 140 characters or less. The Twitter post, we like to call it. This time, as always, we start with Randy.
The Amityville Horror. The world's most interesting man moves into the house from Hellraiser and then turns into a hobgoblin. 2 stars, 1 for the flies and 1 for the babysitter. Poor dear.
Oh, I agree. On to Mr. Brian Dunaway.
A little movie-going advice. The Amityville Horror. About an hour into this movie, I suggest you abandon your popcorn and soda, jump in your station wagon, and haul ass.
All right.
But come back for the dog.
Come back
Ray
for the dog.
The dog.
And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
The Amityville Horror. The scariest thing in this movie? That real estate agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
She was great.
Sure.
What'd she do? What was her sound?
Oh, sure.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. I was marginally scared of his business partner.
Oh yeah,
the guy, you know the guy who looks like '84.
Yeah,
that kind of does. He's American hero, dude.
He stopped making movies in '84, and there is no history on this guy since. Nothing. He disappeared. He was in a bunch
of
stuff, and then
he died.
Poof! No, he lived. He's around.
Really,
he's not dead.
He really looked like the lost Brady.
Oh, for sure. And that also didn't get resolved.
We wondered if there was some sort of Amityville curse like there was with Poltergeist.
Or people die from the movie?
Yeah, or just go crazy or wander into people's houses.
No, pepperoni.
Not really.
Or look like pepperoni.
You want pizza. Right.
Those are your three options.
This is the weirdest thing to say about an episode of Film Sack. We talked about James Brolin and Scott made me want pizza.
Yeah.
Kind of does me too.
Oh, does that sound good?
Actually, I'm having jambalaya.
Oh, that sounds even better. All right, we got an email here from, this comes to us from Walter. He says, hi, I don't know how this works, but I'd love if you guys would sack the 1980 film Popeye starring Robin Williams.
Oh, it's on our list.
It's not the first time this has been asked for either. I love this movie, and it seems no one else does. It makes me sad, but I'm prepared to turn my frown upside down by listening to all of you enjoy the movie. Maybe. I'd love to send you the movie 4 copies if you'd be willing to review them. Let me know. Thanks.
That's a big commitment. We don't go asking people to do that. But Popeye is not streaming, and every time we've looked, it's not been streaming.
Yeah. So people will do this when we can't get a movie like that. I mean, we're about to do. I've sent you guys like 5 movies this week alone. So we have a lot of episodes to get through before we would. Yeah. But we wouldn't. Yeah. We probably wouldn't turn you down. I'll get a hold of you and let you know how that works. But I'm a giant fan and watch that movie incessantly. I wore the VHS tape out.
It was a famous director on that.
Yeah, Robert Altman.
Altman, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, but yeah.
And if everybody involved, including this nice emailer and listener, is serious, Maybe we should consider it for Nerdtacular this year.
Oh, that'd be fun, right? That'd be all right. Mm. The only downside of those is nobody else can watch it.
That'd be a lot of Popeye impressions.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll figure it out. That may or may not be a good idea. But the point is that I have nothing bad to say about Popeye. I think if they were to remake that movie today, here's the way I would cast it. Popeye would be played by, who's Doogie Howser? What's his name?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Give him a chin extension, weird forearms, you're good.
Oh, that would make him do the voice. Weird.
And then I want to hire Ron Swanson to be Bluto.
I can see that.
It'd be a great Bluto.
Speaking of nothing bad to say about it, guess what we're watching next week?
Tell me.
A Chuck Norris movie.
Oh my gosh.
And it's a Chuck Norris movie with the amazing and legendary Lee Van Cleef, among other legendary fighter actors.
Hold on, what's the name of this thing?
It's called The Octagon.
Oh yeah, this is on our list.
And it represents kind of the beginning of the ninja craze in the 1980s.
Great.
And it is streaming on Netflix. Get yourselves sat down, folks.
Watch The Octagon. I am all in. One quick note of interest. This always freaks me out just a little bit. I do not think of Amityville Horror and Popeye being even in the same decade. They were literally 6 months apart. So,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
I didn't know Popeye was that old.
Yeah. 1980. Just barely into the new year. Anyway, yes, The Octagon. Into that. All in. That'll be great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We have plenty more movies after that. They're going to be great as well. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the show. If you'd like to be a bigger part of the show, there's a few ways you can do it. And the one way I'd like to recommend is go to filmsack.com, where everything is linked that matters most, including our forum posts, where you can go in there and hang out and talk to other people with like-minded ideas about film and whatnot. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com, on Twitter, @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are downloaded. We'd love that. Thank you so much for those. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next week in the Octagon.
Get out.
Oh, what?
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Will you stop nagging at me?